All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Bro, what? What are you doing here at the gym?
I don't know, work it out.
Why?
What do you want from me?
What happened to our Acomath buddy, Reed? You promised.
I don't want to read some stupid romanticy book, man.
But you promised.
How about this?
Mm-hmm.
You explain the book to me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if I like it, we'll head out.
Okay.
Hold the bag.
Oh.
All right. Mm-hmm. How does it start?
Well, it starts with just a little.
Welcome back to another episode of Toodle Ramble. My name is Richard.
My name is Austin.
Last time we weren't manly enough doing ACOTAR, and I hear the second book is even spicier, even better. So we need to up the manliness to really offset all this feminine energy.
So what we're going to do here is, if you didn't see our ACOTAR review, I spoiled the entire book for Rich. Told him what the plot was, and then we buddy read it together. He read it, and then we actually talked about it. We're doing that with Acomath, A Court of Mist and Fury. I've got it all broken down for you that are watching and for Rich to get our manly energy here. We've got punching bags. We've got dumbbells. How long can you do that dumbbell for? You're still going.
I'm still going. I don't know.
So
I'm ruining myself right at the beginning.
Your arm's just broken.
Let's switch it up.
Are you ready for this?
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay, first thing I got for you.
I'm starting.
ACOTAR.
All right.
Put the weight down first, because I have a quiz for you.
Okay.
A little ACOTAR recap, just to bring us back to speed of
wonderful
getting the setting here. It's been a while since we read it. It was last Valentine's Day, practically.
Yeah.
ACOTAR. Main character. What's their name?
Feyre.
How do you spell that?
F-A-Y-R-E.
Give me three reps. Three reps.
It's three reps?
F-E-Y-R-E. Three. Each side. One, two, three. Good.
All right.
You're never good with names. What's her last name? Give me three.
It's now Tamlin.
Give me three.
Isn't it?
No, that's his first name.
Damn it.
It's Feyre Archeron. Is that relevant? Not really.
Archeron?
Yeah.
That's a terrible name.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. It's Archer O-N.
God, fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Go.
Anyways, you can put the waist down. Okay. So if you remember at the end of the book, Feyre sacrificed herself under the mountain, remember the mountain, with Amarantha.
Sacrificed herself, yeah.
Yes. She saw Amarantha.
She dies, comes back.
Remember the love poem?
The answer is love.
The answer was love.
Love sucks. It sacrificed pain, suffering.
Yep.
What am I? Love.
And yeah, she loved Tamlin, and she was trying to save Tamlin. And then she ended up saving all of the Fae community, all the High Fae, mm-hmm. sacrificed herself after killing two innocents. Do you remember that part too?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. And then after she...
I do remember the point where she was killing the innocents, and then her big old noodle figured out the riddle.
Fact check us. Was the order of events?
Nah, she stabbed.
It was stab, stab, then.
Oh, that's the riddle.
There's no way that was it.
Well, no, it was stab, stab, about to stab Tamlin's heart.
And goes, I know the riddle.
I know the thing. He's the stone heart.
That was the order.
Yeah.
So now Feyre's dead.
And it comes back to life.
Because all the High Fae use their powers to bring her back to life.
Yeah.
And Feyre is back, but not as a human. As a High Fae. She's now there.
She got
and
operated.
If you remember, this is important for getting into Acomath. She made a deal with Rysand that has to see him weekly. Remember that.
It was the whole, like, you know, Hades and Persephone kind of story, right?
Hades, Persephone, bring me up to Greek lingo.
Like, isn't the whole thing, Persephone, like, eats six pomegranate seeds and therefore has to go into Hades for 6 months of the year? That's the whole...
It's
a reference to.
I kind of think, as a child of divorce, it's like you got to split time between mom and dad.
Ah, that's sadder.
Yes. Spoiler alert.
My parents are still together. And yours aren't. Spoilers.
No. So at the split time between Tamlin and Rhysand.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's parents of the... spoiler warning, Rhysand ends up being the daddy in this situation. Rhysand is the...
Okay. Yeah. He's the bad boy.
Complete.
With a heart of gold.
Exactly. Complete. Yeah. So let's get you back into Akelmath now, okay? 3 month time skip. We are now in Akelmath. What happened in the book? I already gave you a little bit of seed of spoilers, of course. This is all spoilers for Akelmath. So if you don't want that, this is not your place.
Yeah.
Tamlin, Rhysand. Tamlin.
Bad.
Bad. Rhysand, good. How do we get there is the question. Because Tamlin was supposed to be good. Rhysand was supposed to be bad. Because we saw Rhysand was in the last book. Like, oh my God, look at this bad guy. Tamlin, look at this knight in shining armor. Okay?
Okay.
So we start off 3 months after the events of ACOTAR. She is with Tamlin in his Fey area. But it turns out Tamlin's overprotective. Tamlin...
Well, he did see her die.
Exactly. So he's overprotective for a reason, but it's too much and no longer... There's no longer...
It's not hot anymore.
She got the ick. Because she saw Tamlin being too overprotective. Actually, doesn't let her do things on her own. Anything she wants... She's no longer kind of free. She feels like she's in chains. Tamlin just coddles her and tells her what to do and says, you can't go here, you can't go there. Very strict parent of the two.
Yeah, parent's the wrong word I would choose, but okay.
Okay, so you're with me, though. Okay, so basically what happens at this point is she thinks in her head, because okay, here's what's happening. There's a marriage. Did I mention marriage yet?
Sure.
Okay, so no, Tamlin and Feyre are going to get married.
Okay.
So they're about to get married. In her head, she's going, this overprotective guy, oh my God, no. I don't want that.
Hold that thought.
Where are we going here? Great. I'm gonna need some kettlebell swings out of you. So she says in her head, no, I don't want to do this. I don't want to get married to this guy. Because why would she? She doesn't love him anymore. Rhysand teleports there and saves her.
Mm-hmm.
Reason he's able to teleport because of the high fae magic, he was also able to read her mind because they have a bond from the last book. They're bonded and connected. They can read each other's minds and see each other's minds. So he knew she was feeling she didn't want to marry Tamlin. So Rhysand comes in and saves the day,
mm-hmm.
gets her. What do you think?
Yeah, keep going.
What do you think her reaction is to when Rhysand takes her at first?
Well, first she's like, hey, what are you to take me away? You're not my dad.
She gives not one, but two Spanish quinceanera throws. Shoe tosses. Oh, two daggers. And you ever see the H.W. or George Bush?
Yeah.
Like, basically that throws at Rhys. She's pissed. She's livid with Rhysand.
Hey, if you're going to make me uncomfortable listening to this goddamn book, I'm going to make you uncomfortable.
So she's very pissed at Rhysand. No, doesn't like it. What happens from there? Can you guess?
He traps her. In his court. Tamlin comes after him.
No, he teaches her how to read.
Oh, that seems important.
But because remember, she couldn't read from the last book?
Yeah,
because
she's a big human dummy. She's a big dumb dummy.
That's one way. So she's being taught how to read. Rhysand's like, okay, I need to teach you some things. I'm not going to... Kind of gives her some space and some freedom to do things on her own. But teaching her how to read, but of course, it's like flirtatious teaching. Like, he'll teach her lines like, ah, wow, isn't Rhysand so delicious? And as he's teaching her to read, he's coaxing, you know, bringing the pen over, saying, yeah, how about you write out, I really want your body.
She do the Patrick Swayze, the ghost pottery thing.
Oh, that's a great reference. Yeah, exactly like that. That's it.
Oh, let me show you.
No, you don't have to touch when you do that. But. So they're flirting, they're getting on. Are you a little sick? Do you want to move spaces? Are you getting antsy?
Yeah, I want to get a different exercise here.
Okay.
Hold that thought.
Okay, follow me. So we're going through the whole love story at this point. We have Tamlin coddling, protecting her, making sure that she's doesn't get into any trouble, any harm's way anymore. He's focused on making sure she's okay. Rysand makes sure she's okay by encouraging her to have individual, independent growth like the woman she is. You follow?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in
freedom,
this case,
but not. Got it.
Yes, but here's how much he's very, very good and comfortable with their boundaries that they have. Anytime that she wants to go do something, he lets her do it. Anytime that she wants to back out of doing something, he's totally good with that too. Just know Rysand, comfortable with boundaries. Tamlin's very strict. We got that so far?
Got it.
Okay, good. Just making sure that you're very clear who's supposed to be the, by the way, Rysand, most powerful Fae in all the lands.
I thought that was Tamlin, nope. Last book.
No, it's Rysand.
But I thought in the last book it was said like Tamlin was the most powerful Fae.
I don't think it did, but Rysand, it said multiple times he's the most powerful Fae. That's important because when we have the sensual scenes later, he is the most powerful.
Got it.
Can I also say a major complaint that I have?
Go ahead. What could you complain about?
What percentage would you say that the book has sensual scenes?
I mean, based on the last book?
Yeah. What would your guesstimate be?
25%?
1%.
Really?
There's almost no smut in this. The vast majority of the book, there's actual plot.
That sounds like it's perfect for us.
Well, do you want to know what the plot is?
What is the plot?
So there's the romance that's happening because it's Tamlin versus Rysand. We get all that. The major plot is this. Okay, so we have, oh, by the way, they have mind shields and they can like enter each other's minds. That's important for later. Here's the plot. We're in Perinthian. Amarantha was working with the King of Highburn. Do you remember the King of Highburn, all of that? He's a bad
Not
guy.
Not at all.
So the King of Highburn, he has a cauldron. Do you remember the cauldron?
Nope.
It's powerful, and it's basically a MacGuffin. The cauldron does a lot of stuff. Cauldron's very good, powerful. We follow that. King of Highburn has a cauldron. They need to destroy the cauldron because the cauldron can do powerful things. How do you destroy the MacGuffin? Well, our team, Rysand, all of our guys over here, Rysand, Feyre, everybody has to get two MacGuffins to kill the MacGuffin. The two MacGuffins.
Two MacGuffins better than one MacGuffin.
The two MacGuffins, really one MacGuffin that was ripped in half because it was a book that was ripped in half. Half of it was given to the mortal queens. The other half was given to the summer court. So it's a quest of two parts. By the way, Rysand, the reason he was a bad guy and on that exterior is because he was actually trying to protect a secret city called Valaris that they had. Did I tell you that yet?
No, what's Valaris?
So Valaris is this secret city that Rysand has been protecting the whole time. So the reason he ended up working with, I'm gonna need you to spell Feyre once more.
F-E-Y-R-E.
You're good. Okay, so.
Hey, there we go.
I set you up to fail there.
So Harry, you can help me. I'll put some more weight on here. I wanted to go for...
Okay, let's go ahead and do that. But anyways, so you're following this secret city, Valaris. That is where... 10? 10, yes.
No, just put the 45s on there.
Oh, okay.
I want to do at least one.
Yep, we got that. All right. But anyways, Rysand was pretending to be this evil, evil guy and be bad to everybody because he put on this bad boy exterior in order to hide the fact that he has this city where all of his loved ones are in Valaris. Oh. So there's this team, this fellowship, there's people like called Amarin and two other names I'm forgetting, but they have all these people he loves, and he was basically being Amarantha's whore. Remember that from the last book? He was being Amarantha's whore so he could protect everybody, act like a bad guy so that nobody would be suspicious. Now, on the contrary, a little bit of a plot convenience thing. If there was this bad, evil guy that was just being an asshole to everybody, I would have thought that guy would have secrets, and I would have looked into what he's doing behind closed doors. But for some reason, being the bad boy exterior actually protected the city and kept people from looking into it and acting like he had something more. The fact that he acted bad, kept people from Amarantha from looking into it any further. Is that making sense?
Sure.
Okay. Could you spell Feyre for me?
F-E-Y-R-E.
That's great. What's her last name?
Yeah, I ain't getting that one.
That's not how you're supposed to spot. Okay, so... We're up to date so far. So you get it?
Yeah.
The plot is get MacGuffins and go on this quest to get two halves of the book. Rich, I feel like we're disconnecting here.
I think we need a new exercise.
Okay. All right, Rich. So we're up to speed. Rise and Tamlin. We still get the drama. Now we're getting into some plot stuff where we've got two pieces of a book to retrieve. One from the summer court. That quest, it's kind of like James Bond-esque. They go around. They need to get this book from this guy named Tarquin, who actually turns out to be a pretty chill guy. Feyre actually feels bad having to take the book from him. So they do a little bit of scheming. They steal the book. They feel bad. Half the book, remember, because they need to make the full book to destroy what, remember?
Is that the cauldron?
Exactly. The super magical cauldron.
Got it.
Now,
what does the cauldron do?
I don't know, but we still haven't had a lot of sex scenes, so I'm...
I feel like we've been promised something, and we're not getting it.
But here's the buildup. The tension here is the first book, the half book is now retrieved, but now the other half of the book is with the mortal queens in the mortal land with the humans. Who do we get to see in the mortal lands but Feyre's sisters?
Did the Feyre's sisters become queens or something?
Queens? No, not queens, but they're humans so they can get in contact with the queens, obviously.
Oh, of course.
So,
I mean, the peasants always have direct contact with the royalty.
So they basically, they do their thing to, they go to the sisters. So Feyre and team go to sisters. They catch them up on all the facts. Like, you know, hey, I died. I was with Tamlin. I'm back.
Of course.
I now need half the book. Could I please get half the book? Because the mortal queens, they have it. We need to destroy the cauldron. King of Highburn's going loose, etc. We get that?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, why not?
So they end up asking... Oh, yeah. What are their names?
Wait, why didn't Feyre visit the sisters ever?
She does now.
Now?
Actually, there was a 3-month jump. Oh, because Tamlin was being protective.
Oh.
Tamlin was like, hey, you're here. You're mine. I got you. Probably why. He was being very strict with her, not letting her be free. Now, Rhysand, on the other hand, remember, he's still being loosey-goosey, like, hey, I got your boundaries. When you don't want to do stuff, you don't want to do stuff. At one point, she vomits. He holds her hair. He's a very nice guy. He's also the most powerful in all of the lands because his name's Rhysand. How do we know he's the most powerful of all the people?
Does he do something cool?
No. But
does he have cool stuff?
It is said that he's the most powerful ever. We don't see a lot of it. Maybe in the future books, we'll see it. You want to read the next one too?
I don't know. Oh, man.
But here's where it's starting to get a little, the tension's building, because now we're going back to the mortal lands. The queens are going, oh my God. No. Wait. Oh, yeah. Then we get the queens.
Okay.
So the queens, we get in touch with them. The queens come. And now we're ready to get the next half of the book. Now, remember with Tarquin in the summer court, to get that first half of the book, they had to steal it, basically.
Yeah.
With the mortal queens, they have to convince them to give the book to Rhysand and team.
But the humans are weaker and smaller and inferior to the Fae. Why don't they just take it?
Give me 5 more sit-ups.
Did I ask too good of a question?
I didn't think of that one. So what happens is the mortal queens, they go, hey, we don't think you're a good guy, Rhysand, because you've been an asshole for the past 50 plus years.
Sure.
What's up? Rhysand, in order to prove to the mortal queens that he's a good guy.
Does says, he sleep with her? That would have been,
that's what we wanted. But no, yeah. No.
He doesn't whore himself out like he did last time?
Between Feyre?
I mean, the last time he solved the problem by whoring himself out. Why didn't why didn't he do it again?
Now, I think the community out there would say he was abused, but I like where you're going with that. That's more
fun.
But he doesn't sleep with them.
Here's the thing. I have the best excuse because I haven't read the book.
Exactly.
See, I'm not ignorant or victim-blaming. I just don't remember very well.
Akotar, this happened. Remember, he was the...
I don't remember very well.
That's fair. So what happens is the mortal queens, they need to be convinced. Rhysand naturally says to the mortal queens, he says, you know what? In order to show them I'm actually a good guy, he shows them and reveals the secret city of Valeris to show, hey, this is why I've been a bad boy. I'm really a good boy. I'm really a good boy.
That sounds...
Don't clip that.
You should.
But
that sounds like a dumb idea.
Why?
He sacrificed everything to keep this city safe.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he now revealing it?
So we can get the cauldron.
But
aren't the humans going to betray him in this book?
The Mortal Queen.
I haven't read this, but I'm assuming that they're going to like turn around and sell that information immediately.
That happens immediately. So what happens is,
look at that. I swear I haven't read this book before.
So they not only sell that information, they got King of Highburn, Tamlin's out there. It's nuts. So, well, first Tamlin and co come to save Feyre as if she needs saving.
Give it a pause.
Yep.
Different exercise. Okay. I did not work out my core enough and it's in pain.
Okay. We'll see you in the next one. Okay, before you really interrupted, now we had Tamlin shows up to the whole Rhysand situation over there.
Okay.
They shows up to their court to go save Feyre. Now, in the interim at this point, it's very important to mention that Rhysand and Feyre. Oh, wait, this happens right after. Okay, so Tamlin comes over there. Feyre says, no, I don't want to be with you. She admits that she does actually love Rhysand. Because at this point,
it's a lot quicker.
He's been great. Tamlin has not been great.
Hey, she learned her lesson from the first book.
Exactly. Didn't she? Mm-hmm. Mm. And learning to read.
Learning to read.
Okay.
Learning to admit her feelings and read.
There you go. So now,
an accomplished young woman.
Exactly. And then so what she does is she says, no, Tamlin. Actually, he sends that other guy, Lucien or whatever. Lucien sends him. And he's like, come with us. We're going to save you. She says, no, no, no. Basically, Rhysand gets 7 arrows shot into him.
Got it.
Okay. So he's the most powerful in all the lands.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, of course, he's going to survive 7. So
8. No.
No, not a chance. So he gets taken. I forget by who. Gets taken by somebody. You let me know in the comments. Yeah. He gets taken, and then Feyre has to go save him. Goes to save Rhysand. When she goes to save him, Rhysand, you okay?
I'm just. There's a lot of, much space.
Yeah,
here
gotcha.
For the other
yeah,
arm.
Yeah. So
there we go.
Goes to save Rhysand, does it. Rhysand admits to her that this whole time he actually knew they were mates. Do you know what that means?
No.
It's a new world thing introduced. Mates in this world means you're fated to be with one another. You have one mate in the world. And so that's why their minds are connected. That's why they've been feeling the synergy the whole time. He's known this. In fact, I'm forgetting the details, but he's the reason why she's like a high fae to begin with and like help. Basically, he knew she was his mate and he didn't say anything about it. He's been hiding that fact. They are soulmates. This is important because they have a magical bond now, like this. And so what that means is Feyre goes, have I been being deceived? That's the only reason you've been doing this because you know I'm your mate. She gets over it. She realizes, okay, he's actually a great guy and he's my mate. They feel the synergy. Now, here's where the spice ups a little bit.
Okay.
Now that they're mates, basically what happens is you have just this bond that you just want to be in bed with each other for weeks. You have this innate urge to stick in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. It's mentioned. They only have one scene.
Wait, they only mention it?
No. It's mentioned that they wanted to stay in bed for weeks, and they kind of got up because they had to save the cauldron and the world and everything.
Hey, that's better than, what was her name from Fourth Wing? That literally couldn't keep it in her pants for like five goddamn minutes.
Not Zayden.
Violence.
Yes. So right now we're catching up, and they've got both MacGuffin parts. Mm-hmm. They need to go to the King of Highburn. They go there. Everybody's there. We got Tamlin in the house. The queens. You know why the queens are there? Because they want immortality. They want to become High Fae. So they're there. They're invested.
I mean, why don't they give it to them?
The thing is, they get there, and then what happens? The cauldron is what the mortal queens are looking after.
Okay.
So, Nesta's there, which is the sister of Feyre. So everybody's in the house. What ends up happening?
I'm just make a prediction that the sister's gonna betray her in some way because her sisters are awful.
Here's what actually happens. You know, they got personalities. They're not like awful.
Yeah.
But the King of Highburn, in order to show to the mortal queens that the cauldron does work, he throws the two sisters into the cauldron. They pop out. They're high fae now, too. A lot of high fae going around. Ah. By the way, Feyre has the power.
It's a nice little test. Sure.
Throws them in.
And
so what happens is Feyre actually has the powers of like 7 high. The 7 that helped resurrect her means she has like the powers of all of them. So she's also very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
What do the high fays do and what are their abilities? I kind of forget, to be honest with you.
Spooky magic?
they do things.
They got wings.
Yes. How did you know that?
They got wings.
Oh, these are fairies. They're called the Illyrian. That's Rhysand. There are some Illyrians, and there's some world building there and some stuff. Now, important part here in this final scene. Here's what it all goes down. Okay, Tamlin is in order to make sure Tamlin and that Rhysand isn't hurt. What Feyre does, she does a gambit. She says to Tamlin, "Hey, I've been mind controlled. Remember the whole mind stuff we've been building up? I've been mind controlled this whole entire time. Rhysand has been mind controlling me. I'm finally saved. Tamlin, thank you for snapping me out of it. I'm ready to go." Mm-hmm. In reality, her and Rhysand give a look, a little camera wink.
Ooh.
And he knows that she's faking it.
Okay.
For Tamlin. Tamlin so keeps the peace. She goes with Tamlin into their court type of stuff, whatever. And what happens, it's been a couple weeks since I read this. So what happens is Tamlin and co, she's there, and she is now behind enemy lines because Tamlin doesn't know she's been faking this whole time, thinks that she's back all in his arms. And there's something to do that I forget at the end with like the magic, and she's there and she's basically infiltrating information for Rhysand. And so now she's kind of like a double agent. So we're going into book three, James Bond style.
Okay, the thing ran out of battery. We don't know what we're doing. You want to just go read the book?
I don't, but fine.
All right, we're going to cut screen. We're going to talk.
I'll have read the book.
Yes. And get ready, because the energy is going from very gym bro to something special.
A little sensual?
Little. Oh my God, I gotta. Huh.
Yeah. Wow. That's a 5 foot away from the camera face.
Yeah, wow. There's no way this is going in the pot, is it? Nick, don't put. He's put it in the pot.
Hello there.
Hello. The things we do for content.
Yeah, I know.
Rich, you're looking dazzling.
Thank you. I do my best.
You're just the whole episode have the rose in your mouth?
Oh, yeah.
So, you read Acomef.
Yeah.
Book two of A Court of Thorns and Roses, the series. What do you think now from the spoilers I gave you? Uh-huh. How did it live up to your expectations?
It was bad. Bad book. I did not have a good time. Here's the correct opinion about the book.
Mm-hmm.
It is technically better written, but I had a less fun time. It was more boring. Because in the first one, it was kind of like The Room, where you get to make fun of it a little bit. But this one, there's kind of less to make fun of and more just, I was real bored. And this was, I thought it was a bad book.
This one was good for the fans, the people that like it. But since you, from book one, you liked that there were some things outside your normal genre. So you went, oh, whoa, this is different.
And I was like, different, weird. I love the weird thing of just like, yeah, Feyre just was like, it just kind of dumb. And it was kind of weird how dumb she was. And
but she
like,
also just, killed people.
She also killed people. And then also, okay, here's the positive. I know we talked about in the first book of going like, yeah, she just like killed some people. And we're just going to move on from that. Didn't move on from that. It was a serious character plot point.
She had PTSD this book.
She had PTSD, rightfully so, for my criticism in the first book. And that would be great if I was invested with these characters and this world and this story. And I wasn't. And so I was bored.
So even though you think this is a quote unquote better book.
Yeah.
You enjoyed yourself more with book one.
Oh, 100%.
I gotta say, I would agree with that take. I would agree with that take. Even though the experience of these ACOTAR, ACOMAS reviews is we get to kind of go really outside what we normally do. Fantasy, sci-fi, romanticy is not our typical thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping with ACOMAF, I've heard a lot of buildup of, oh, everything's gonna change.
Yeah.
Which one big thing did change?
We got our new boy toy for the series.
Yes.
Our new hot stuff.
As I was spoiling the book to you, the focus point was Tamlin's not the good guy anymore. It's actually Rhysand, who is this bad boy exterior. And now I got to say, we've read three total romance books on this pod and reviewed them so far? Three.
Four.
Four. I guess that counts too. Yes.
Yes, it does.
Three atypical ones that we normally wouldn't read.
Yes.
You know, and in all three now, we've seen this trend of there's the two guys, the two love interests. One is the protector, the one that doesn't trust the main character, our female protagonist, doesn't trust her on her own and needs to protect her and comes off as overbearing, as Tamlin does.
Yeah.
And then you have your Rysand, who trusts Feyre.
Still protective.
Still protective.
But in the right way.
Yes.
Protective, but also like, hey, I'm going to protect you up until the point where you say no, and then I'm going to trust you, even though it hurts me inside to risk your life. I will still trust you.
And he has big wings.
He's got big wings.
Probably other features as well. I'm imagining.
Explicitly. It was said explicitly.
Was it?
Yes.
I might have went through in one
of
your...
No, it was, she made the comment of, so it is true that fairies with big wings are big in other places.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So we've seen that trend now. And we're referring to one classic book, Pride and Prejudice, which we recently read and reviewed, where your classic Mr. Darcy is your bad boy exterior, but turns out there's a little bit more to that. And for Pride and Prejudice fans, you know what we're talking about.
Mr. Darcy's great. I think about it, the more I like Pride and Prejudice. I had such a great time.
That's my question then, because going to read this book, do you already feel like you got the tropes and you went, I know where this is going?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. Like, I read one romance book and I feel like I got it down. I'm clued in. I don't need to read anymore.
You have the formula.
I got the formula. Or at the very least, I got the formula that we've been reading. I'm sure there's other mixes. Like, there's got to be other subgenres of, like, romance novels. I know there is. It's just all the romantasy books that we've read, I'm just comparing it to Pride and Prejudice, and it works so well. So,
Did anything from this shock you, surprise you?
Oh, no.
Because from the summary I gave you, did anything come out of left field of, oh, Austin didn't mention that, I didn't expect this from book two?
No, you gave it you set my expectations properly low. Okay. And...
just like book one.
Yeah, but you didn't set it low enough.
Good thing you waited for me not to drink. that would have came flying out.
That would have been better content.
Not low enough. You really did enjoy this.
No, because I thought you were talking about it, and I was...
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Thinking, oh, this is going to be like funny bad. It wasn't funny bad. It was boring bad. Like, there wasn't any particular moment of, oh, that's funny.
Mm.
Other than like, I'm trying to think of moments where it's just weird. Or it doesn't make sense. And most of it falls along Tamlin, where in the beginning, Tamlin makes a good bit of sense of, okay, he just saw the love of his life, you know, die in front of his eyes. Obviously, probably going to be a little protective. Hey, I don't want you going out into the magical forest where a bunch of, you know, demons are. Fair.
Sensible.
That's a fair, sensible thing.
To an extent.
He's got PTSD from seeing her die.
Yes.
A little protective. Fair enough. Deserves some grace. A little bit of grace in the beginning. I understand it.
Totally get that.
Then it starts getting to a point of, it's the exact same thing with Fourth Wing of, okay, we get it. Protective. She's new to this. You know, she doesn't know how to fight. But then you start realizing like, hey, she's actually like arguably the most powerful Fae.
Oh, it's said she is, right?
Yeah. I
mean, other than Rysand. Rysand's also most powerful.
Rysand is also the most powerful Fae, of course.
Of course.
Always. And then she has all these powers, and he's like, no, let's not train you. And he's like, but why? Because if we train you, then other people will know that you're powerful, and they'll try and take you away. It's like, it sounds like that's going to happen anyway. Like, just might as well train. And then he just locks her up, puts her in a cage, like, quite literally a force field cage, and just, like, and then it's the little tiny things of she's getting up in the middle of the night to go throw up because, you know, she's traumatized and suffering, and he's like, well, oh, well, I'm just going to go back to bed. Like, where was this sensitive Tamlin that was always there before of actually caring about her, just letting her throw up by herself? And, like, anyway, all the things is like Tamlin just kind of mind-boggling of how bad he is by the end. It just kind of doesn't make sense.
You think Sarah J. Maas here, she had to overcompensate a bit to go like, hey, I really want the reader to walk away on Rhysand's side. So she just kept hammering, like, look at all this bad stuff Tamlin's doing. Mm. Look how awful he is. Look at Rhysand and just how much of an amazing person he is.
And then Rhysand just trauma dumping constantly. It's like, I get it. Mm. Your life sucked. You're the bestest boy. You've done nothing bad in your entire life. All the negative things are actually just this grand, beautiful tale that you're telling others to keep your friends and family safe. Yeah. Boring. Make him a little edgy. Like, give him something of like, ooh, you actually did some fucked up things. Or make him actually do something pretty messed up to, like, Feyre. Like, something to get over. But no, he's just perfect. He's just great. He's infinitely understanding, infinitely patient. It just...
Do you think part of that's... I don't want to speak for the people that are fans of the series, but do you think part of that is self-inserting? Someone wants to feel like, that's the knight in shining armor, the perfect man out there. And it's a bit of this... I don't know. Somebody said this quote, and I think I said this on a previous episode. Mm-hmm. And I love this. I saw it on a TikTok. I don't know. I was reading comments. I was on girl TikTok. I was on woman's side of TikTok. And
TikTok.
Yes, TikTok. And the quote was, a crush is just, as I forget the quote, a crush is just a lack of information. And I was like, sure. Oh, wow. Oh, and the way you think about that is you get to learn more about somebody, and then you start to, they actually have flaws. This person, there's more to them. They're not just this person I thought they were, this knight in shining armor. But in the case of Rhysand, and some of these romantasy books we read, it's you have this crush, you learn more about the person, and they are that perfect person. There is no skeletons in the closet. Rhysand is the person that maybe people want them to be or want to find in the real world. I'm not trying to assume for people, but why do you think that's appealing? Because clearly it didn't match for us. Although I know Mike's book reviews will watch this video and go, we're the biggest Akkomath, Akkotar fans. That's because deep down you think we don't like the series. This is the second video we've done on this.
Okay, to be fair, the presentation is what makes us do these videos. If we had to do this in a normal, if we had to do a normal video, I'd kill myself.
Okay, but the issue with that though is you got to say somewhere deep down something about this is enjoyable. Something
to me? No. Yeah,
like one little thing. What is like if you could find that thing that's going, you know what? I get it.
Okay, I'm having fun. Pattern recognition. Like, I'm recognizing patterns of this is several books in a row now where I'm starting to pick up the idea of the perfect man is the bad boy that's bad to everyone else, but is a good boy to you. Mm-hmm. That's the ideal man. Is like, he's dangerous, he's all these things, he's willing to throw down, everyone else is scared of him, and then he shows you the sensitive side. Right. That is literally every single romance book we've read. Every single, like, all four of them, that's the main guy. That's the trope. That's the thing. I mean, that is also other romance book I've heard about and haven't actually read because
at least the
not
ones,
my genre.
At least the ones that are categorized as romance because others that aren't. So Sword of Kaigan's deeply about relationships, but I don't think you call a romance book.
No,
it's but you get what I mean, how it doesn't follow that.
It's not a romance novel. It's a novel that deals with a marriage and relationship.
And what defines a romance novel? Mm. Why do you think when people think they say romanticy, and how do you see that being advertised? Of what do you expect?
I think generally a romance novel, the point is it's the dynamic of the relationship. And normally seeing a more positive route, like, I don't know, is there such thing as a romance novel where the point of it is the couple breaks up?
Can I say, like, movie spoilers? This is, like, lights. It's a very popular movie.
Oh, I know what
you're
talking about.
If you guys don't care, it's a very popular movie. Came out in 2016. I'm giving you a chance to skip 10 seconds if you don't want to know. La La Land.
True. the point of that movie is more of the will they, won't they, and then the tragedy. It's a tragic romance.
But it is a romance.
True. Yeah. Then what is the difference between something like that and The Sword of Kaigan?
The difference between when you call something, hey, this is romance, when you're genre romance, fine, you're going,
yeah.
I guess with Sword of Kaigan, because the main themes and takeaway, it's, oh, maybe that's part of it, because it, you think of things as a love story. Mm-hmm. And when I think love story, you think rom-coms, you think like, oh, the couple ends up together or something tragic happens where one of the partners dies and it's, mm-hmm. it's about that connection between the two people and either without them or with them in the end. And maybe the difference is whatever the theme of the story is, if it's a message about love
mm-hmm.
and focused on love, where Sword of Kaigan, again, not spoiling things for Sword of Kaigan, but it's about more than just the L word. There's a lot of deeper themes. So when I watch La La Land, I would say that's definitely a romance film. Mm-hmm. One of the central themes is about love and about partnership and about, so with these romantasy books, they do say something about love. Now it's a different form of love, and you could call it lust in many cases too, especially those big buffly wings.
I mean, I think it's mostly the conversion of lust to love. It's like, oh, this is what we have lust, and then actually, I kind of love you.
It's more than that.
Yeah, it's more, or supposedly more. And then I think, honestly, that's probably the worst aspect of a lot of these stories is they're writing mostly a book about lust. And then the tail end, it's kind of whipped all together like, actually, I love you. It's like, really? When was that? When that happened? Because I just never – it's more of a, you know, turn on the dime. Oh, actually, I found out I loved you. It's like
– well, it turns out because the person's perfect. I mean – Rysand is the perfect man. A fairy. Fae.
It's all the same. What was the most ridiculous plot point to you in this book? Was there anything ridiculous? Super ridiculous?
Oh, okay. So, ridiculous? We're going to have to rejog me. It's been like a month or two since I read the book because we're coming a bit off. I read it, told it to you, then you went and read it. But I guess my main takeaway from like what my feeling was the overall plot structure of the quests and the MacGuffins. It wasn't, I wouldn't say ridiculous, but compared to the first book threw you like a Beauty and the Beast kind of remake and threw you in Fairy World and then had these Hunger Game trials at the end. I was going like, well, this
it's
is just...
weird.
This is just things are happening, and this book, it you asked me ridiculous. This is what came to mind is it was a lot more straightforward. It was
plot contrivances of like the plot was set up in such a specific way. Like often when you talk about like, do you feel the hand of the author on the story? You felt it of just all the weird little caveats and plot can be like, oh, in this area you can just steal the MacGuffin. In this one, you actually have to get them to give it to you willingly. And like, why? And it just made a bunch of shit up. And it was just like so precise to get the exact plot details and moments that they wanted. It's like, you felt it. And it was kind of dumb. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see what you mean.
Of just so many, like, Rysand's going, okay, we're going to train your powers by, you know, going to visit some witch in the woods and it's actually super dangerous and not
there we go.
I thought you would have denied that. You actually shocked me there. Mm-mm. Oh good. I'm glad you embraced it.
I like grapes.
I like grapes so much I'll let that go on the internet forever.
I don't care.
Sorry, I interrupted you. Yes.
We've already shown ourselves in booty shorts at this point. Like
that's fair.
What more? What more can we do? That
if you're wondering where that episode is, we're not telling you.
No, you can find that yourself.
Actually, wasn't that the ACOTAR one?
No.
Yeah, it was. We did it. Remember, we sat with. We did.
Oh, it was part of it.
It was, but then the merch dropped too.
Yeah.
Hey, check out our merch, tutoramble.com.
Yeah, we don't say that enough.
Yeah,
we got hats.
We do
and mugs and things like
bookmarks
that.
Bookmarks are our favorite part because those are.
It is the highest selling thing. That's what people buy the most.
It's what I think's the coolest, too.
What's also the thing we put the most amount of effort into.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But your point. We'll
point.
Get back to that.
I don't even know what point I was making.
You're talking about Acomef.
Oh, just the plot conveniences and the, like, Rysand sent her on this super dangerous mission to get her ring back, and it's all this specific.
Right.
Like, I was bored with most of it. It just was, oh, and then this scene was going to happen. Like, how are we going to get there? The author just comes up with some dumb reason to be there. That's what it felt like every time. Of like,
got it.
This thing needs to happen. What dumb excuse do I need to make it happen?
Why do you think the fandom sees this as, whoa, this is the book?
Because the dialogue is better than the first one. Like, overall.
See, that's what people love about it?
I mean, yeah, the dialogue is generally smoother. There tends to be an actual character voices between them all.
Hmm.
I was bored by it. Like, I was kind of bored, but it was at least better written than the first one, where a lot of stuff kind of comes out of nowhere.
Well, what do you think about the whole magic system and mind blocking and entering Ryzen's mind and they're them being mates, all that?
Yeah, it's all the same. It's all dumb. It's all boring. Like, okay. Hey, sure, why not? They're mates. Cool. It's, I don't know what you want from me. It's dumb and I didn't like it.
You ever feel like, I feel like I'm an interviewer that's just getting the worst potential guest on. Like, I feel like.
That's every week, bud. You should have gotten that by now. We're like, three, how many years?
We hit 3 years, I think, this
month. Yeah, 3 years wow. I would have thought you learned this lesson.
No, usually I have some more substance to talk about where I fill the gaps. I got nothing either. So I'm projecting. I'm like, yeah, you're not giving me the answers on it. Because you know what my answer would also be? You're supposed to fill in for me.
Oh, I got it. You know what would also ground my gears, or like I could feel it?
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Spinoff coming is Feyre's sisters being thrown into the cauldron and becoming Feys themselves. I'm going like,
yeah.
Oh, spinoff number 2 and 3. Got it.
They probably become a significant portion.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure they're going to be leading their own books.
I got something. Like, I got something you would like.
Oh, what did I like?
I know you like this a little bit. You always say this is your favorite part. One of your things you appreciate about the Wheel of Time is that the back home aspect of Wheel of Time, it's not like they just forget about home. They go back.
A little ASMR for you.
Did you just chew right into that?
Yeah, I did. Okay. I hope it was loud enough that they couldn't hear you.
Do you get my point, though,
of
Wheel of Time? You like that they didn't just forget about home, and it's actually a factor? And do you like that, hey, the sisters aren't just forgotten about?
Kind of, but if the sisters were better, sure. But the sisters are mostly boring. And, like, one's nice, cool. And the other's just an ass the entire time for any reason. No. Like, she's just awful.
She's totally going to get redeemed.
And
we know that.
It's like, oh, she's awful because she puts up these walls around her. And it's a protective thing. You're like, no, she's a dick. No, don't give dicks excuses. Like, the amount of times dicks kind of just excuse themselves by saying, oh, it's actually a protective mechanism because, no, you're an asshole. Don't try and pretty up being an asshole. Of like, it's because of my trauma. No. No trauma really excuses being an asshole to others. You're just an asshole. I don't care what excuse you have. Don't be a dick. Like, that's free. It costs nothing to not be a dick.
Let me scratch that off. Okay, so you didn't like that aspect of the book.
No.
Let me,
Oh, okay, I will say this.
But maybe
I loved the fact that the dad was equally useless in this book as well. We had to write about because he has nothing. He is just the worst father.
I forgot he was in the book.
It's because he wasn't in there. He was gone because, you know, of course, he's gone at the most important time for Feyre's life. He's the worst.
Oh, also the fact that, so Feyre, let's get this right. She did die last book. She came back because of the Fey magic. The world building in general, were you, I know you weren't impressed, but what was your take of the world building?
Yeah, book one was much worse because it just was.
Oh, you liked it better here in book 2?
I think so.
Oh.
I think slightly better.
Okay. That's positive for you.
I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just kind of more.
Yeah.
Not necessarily better. I don't think anything particularly came out of nowhere. That's the better part. Like, up until the Amarantha Under the Mountain stuff in the first book, sure. It was all kind of made sense. It's this mystery. It's this world. It's the Amarantha stuff where a bunch of world building stuff came out of nowhere. It's like, well, okay, fine. This is kind of weird and a bunch of plot conveniences. Where this one, Hidden City, the magic is kind of carrying over from that whatever fairy king, fairy or not fairy magic king that's trying to take over the world.
Qyburn, right?
I don't care.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't matter.
I wrote villain notes. Guy. I have no... Okay.
Joke's on you. You wrote notes.
The reason I wrote notes is like I knew I was going to run out of things to say.
You got to get your riffing. You just got to get better at riffing on bad things
to ask you because ask me a question about the book. Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah. What were your thoughts on the best friend character? Like Tamlin's friend who was also.
Amrin.
The guy that was friends with. With Feyre.
Tamlin's best friend.
Yeah, Tamlin's best friend.
Starts with an L, right?
Something like that. He has red hair. The red hair guy.
Yes. What were my thoughts on him?
Yeah, the fact that he seemingly betrays Feyre,
yep.
But not, is trying to help her out, but by the end feels like he's just kind of making excuses for Tamlin.
Oh, you know what? It, correct me if I'm wrong, too. The very end of the book, she's going on a spy mission now. She's infiltrating, mm-hmm. right?
And
he's the one.
He's half none of it.
He's the one that's very suspicious. So I'm guessing in the next book, we're going to get a lot. That's the conflict that we're starting off with of, oh, he knows something's up. And he's going to try to prove to Tamlin that, hey, she's not on your side.
Do you think Feyre's going to drop Rhysand just for the... For the mission, then we're gonna have a new love interest of the
switches back to
no, not Tamlin, the best friend now.
Just every book is a new guy.
Every book's a new guy.
You just make the previous book's protagonist or main interest look like an asshole.
Yeah,
get the new guy to look amazing, and the story about Akatar, Akamath, all this, A Quarter of Thorn and Roses is just that everybody actually is a bad person if you just pry far enough. Yeah. I would really respect that because if the message of this is about love is you can think you know somebody deep down. By the way, I'm like engaged in like weddings this year, so I don't believe this. I just think it's a message you could say. If once you get to know somebody deep enough, you then find out in reality you're never going to find love because your qualifications and your bucket list you're looking for is just too much. You're never going to find the perfect person. Everybody always has skeletons in the closet. Mm-hmm. Feyre. Love is pointless.
You got to pick someone and just tough it out.
Yeah.
At some point, they're just going to...
I would respect that because Rhysand's so perfect. You just want to see something. You want to see some more juice to that character.
I would love for him to like have some type of flaw of any type would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
And really, because the fact that she is so hesitant to like enter that relationship with him is kind of dumb. Like, he's just so perfect. It's like, what are you waiting for, girl? Like, at this point. Come on. He's literally everything.
It's to the point where that the decision at the climax of the book where she finds out he wasn't fully honest about being her mate. Didn't reveal that right away.
Dumb. Like,
yeah, what did you think? Yeah.
Okay, well, this is
I'm so glad we had chairs. This is so uncomfortable.
This is awful.
Yeah. Anyway, so thoughts on the
There
mate.
We go. I can lean against
That's
the bookshelf.
That's pretty smart, actually. We're
still in frame.
All right, great.
No, but thing is, that's a common thing with that's a trope with Fourth Wing as well.
Yeah.
Of, oh, you weren't 100% honest with me on everything. You didn't unveil your deepest, darkest secret to me on our first date. So, you know, go fuck yourself. That also reared its head here. So it's kind of.
And now, where do you think the level is, the scale of what you need to say early on in dating? Because, for example, if you are going on a date with somebody and let's say I'll think of something less severe, less like part of your life.
Yeah, you have a kid.
Yeah, yes, you should say you have a kid.
That's important information.
Yeah, that's very important. Like, because what I'm asking here is like, this is a big part with Feyre and his, like, he knew they were mates and that's a big deal in this world. So would you say that's a first date, first intro kind of thing to go, hey, you should tell the person you have kids. You should tell the person you're their mates. I guess, why does it come across that way of what should you not reveal to somebody early on? Like, what's something that you should learn about? I mean, first date, This isn't for you. You're the type of person to discuss religion, politics, and your wing size, yes, like first date.
Oh, yeah. That's important. Right out of the gate.
Let's be clear.
Let's set the expectations appropriately.
So then what would you say then? Because why does that come across in this book of, oh, that's why are you so freaked out? Just the whole mate thing. And
well, no, it made sense in the sense of why did Ryson not tell her? Well, yeah. When he found out she was in love with Tamlin and he was like, hey, I'm not going to blow up her relationship because of, you know, this kind of magical bullshit. I'm just going to suffer it and move on. And then once she is with him, it's just going like, hey, I don't want to like take advantage of this situation. I want her to actually love me for me, or, you know, I don't want to influence her decision with that information, because then she's going to feel compelled. That's why he
It makes sense why he holds it back. Yeah.
Yeah. Because saying, oh, you're my fated one, like you're literally magically bound to me, is kind of, I don't know, tainting
wouldn't
the cup.
Wouldn't you rather fall in love and then be told that you're from your parents that this is an arranged marriage? You know?
Yeah, generally, that's better.
You'd rather go like, oh, I love this person. Then your parents go, oh, yeah, by the way, we're forcing you to marry this person. You're like,
neat.
Okay.
Cool.
I guess so. So she fell in love with him and then got the added factor of your mates for life. And that's a big deal as well.
Yeah.
Versus, hey, we're mates and I hate you.
Yeah.
Or mates and then you do fall in love with them. But you go, did I fall in love with them just because we're mates? And then it's kind of the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
You got the natural love and you got the plot love. The plot armor of like, oh yeah, we were fated. Yeah. So it's all around pretty good vibes.
Sure.
Pretty happily ever after in that way. I should say that because there's she's with Tamlin, she's infiltrating, doing all the the spy stuff now, which
That's probably gonna be spicy. I just know there's gonna be a scene of her and Tamlin together.
Does she have to fake it?
She's probably gonna have to fake it. Like, I
has to go back
surprised.
To Ryze hands. I had to sleep with him because it was part of the job.
Well, no, even better, the mental shield. Like he's gonna feel it. He's gonna know. They're gonna have that link, and she's like, "I'm thinking of you while I'm doing him." And, like that's gonna happen. I know. It. I feel it in my bones, and I know that's gonna be a plot point.
And then it's gonna be a bit of a rift between Ryze and her. They'll get through it in the end. Yeah. Something like that. Hey, we could be wrong, but
but I don't think I am. I'm probably right.
That's how I...
Will I read to confirm if I'm right? No. I don't want to read the third book.
We'll read the comments, though, right?
That we'll read the comments. But I hope this... I'm hoping from the bottom of my heart this video does shit. I want this to be our worst performing video because then there's no reason to read the book three. I already don't want to read book three, but if this is like our best video, it's like... Ugh,
but the things that I love about this series, there's two things I like.
What do you like?
It's not the book, but there's two other things. It's one, the extended lengths we have to go to do something new and fresh in the part one and part two of this video.
Oh,
because
yeah.
If we get to a third video, we're going to have to up the stakes, and we'll figure out, I guess, how, if that ever happens.
It's not going to go well.
Yeah. But the second thing is just seeing...
By the way, I put all this on the corporate credit card. I hope you know.
Okay. That's what, $100? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
This video, I intended for us to lose money.
This is a loss of profit. Yeah. For sure. But that's fine.
I just want you to know that one.
Oh, the block, you know, actually the shelves.
Yeah. I'm going to put it all on.
Now the thing though, that I like about this as well is we see a side of you but we don't normally get to see of. You don't get too flustered with books every now and then. Like the book behind your head.
When
right
have
there,
I ever been flustered?
Behind
this,
your,
in this video.
No, look behind you.
Ah, yes.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's like you don't get a Name of the Wind rich every off. That, you don't get that every day.
Oh, yeah, I just don't like a book.
Yeah, you like, just get like, you kind of just, you're done, you give up. You think, do I actually like books? You're like, this is, you don't see that too often.
Well, Name of the Wind makes me question things of like, I know it's a well-written book and I really hate it. And I thought it through and I understand why. This one, I like, from the get-go, I'm like, yeah, it's a book that's not written for me. For the most part, I'm not supposed to enjoy it. I'm not the target demographic. I'm not the target audience. It was not written for me and I don't have to like it. Other people feel free to like it. Like, I don't have to like your favorite book. If you loved it, then awesome. There's going to be books I love that I know. It's like, yeah, this is written for no one else but people like me and my narrow beliefs. Like, that, I know that exists. So
I want to know the person out there that loves Acomath and also Neuromancer.
That's an interesting combo.
Is there a person like that out there? Because you could read Neuromancer and go, hey.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those books of like, it's for me. I like it. I understand why other people don't. It's not written for everybody. So, yeah. The only book that I know of that's written for everybody. Everyone should enjoy this. And if you don't like it, there's probably something wrong with you, is Andy Weir.
Mm.
The Martian and Project Hail Mary are a written for everyone book. That's it's the exception to the please everyone, please no one rule.
That's the exception.
It's the exception. It's for everyone. So, yeah.
So, is Acomath a success for the people and the audience it's going for?
I hope so. I hope she makes all her money. You know, Sarah J. Maas, you know, collect that bacon, but probably not going to get any more bacon from me if I can help it. So please don't like this video. Don't comment. Don't give this engagement. Ideally, I wish that you could go back in time, and if clearing your history removes the watch data, I'd prefer that. Make sure this video is one of our worst performing videos, and then we won't do this again. And that'd be grand. I really hope for it.
How do you feel that the reading time going into Acomath could have been going into Sun Eater or something else?
That hurts. It hurts a lot.
Does it?
I will say, though, the one benefit, one benefit was reading Acomath, and then I think the order of events, what did I'm trying to remember, like, I read Pride and Prejudice and Acomath back to back, and that was wonderful. That was a perfect comparison reading experience of, like, read awful romance book to
Read Pride and Prejudice book first, and then Acomath. So yes, maybe that also affected your view of Acomath a bit.
Very well could be.
Yeah.
But it made my experience, like, fondness for Pride and Prejudice so much higher.
Jane Austen.
Jane Austen.
She knows where it's at.
She's the gal. Like, she is the woman. She's great.
Hey, it has similar tropes in there. Similar things. Yeah.
But just well executed.
Handled better.
Yeah, well-executed tropes. Well, I love it.
Guys, gals, I think this was another Acotar Acomath review. I don't know if we'll be doing a third one. The only reason I want to do a third one is because of Rich's pain. Really, that's the only reason at this point. I enjoy when you suffer, generally.
I'll be honest. I don't think I'm going to... Next book, I'll read the wiki before we do it. I'll just lie.
Worst thing, you'll have me read the book and then just not do the episode.
No, here's the best part is have you read it.
Yep.
Say I've read it. And we go through the whole review. I've read the wiki. Or not even the wiki. I just make up my opinion. And at the very end of the video, I just look at you and the camera and said, I lied. I never read the book. Bye. Honestly, would be good.
The way we've done this review as well, very easily could have been a wiki review.
Oh, I would not need to read this book.
I don't think we brought up enough details to prove that we've read this book in this review.
No, it isn't. To be fair, I don't think the details are really worth it.
Give a detail that only a book reader would know.
Okay. I mean, I kind of already did. Feyre, like, confirmed after the whole sex scene with Rhysand that...
I said that in the spoiler-free part, too. I said that in the... Oh. All right, not the spoiler-free.
I corrected you.
I said that in the first part.
Yeah. Okay, another scene. Basically, there was the moment where one of the not-as-asshole queens left the paper under her seat to give to the fairies because she was like, hey, I believe you guys. Let's don't trust the other queens because they're assholes. And so... I'm being very juvenile with my language.
You tell
mostly
us.
Mostly on purpose.
Did Rich read this book? I don't know.
You'll never know.
I do because you called me saying, I don't want to keep reading this book. Every time you're in the car with the audiobook playing.
The amount of times I just called you because I didn't want to put on the audiobook.
There were a lot more calls from Rich in the last go around. Yeah, that's when you know.
Maybe that's why when you think I've been too distant from you, you can just like, we're going to read the next Acotar book. And that way I'll actually talk to you.
Or if you're distant, I know you're reading Sun Eater or something. And I'm like, okay.
That's true.
He's having a good time. You only call me when you're miserable.
Yeah, for the most part.
Okay. That was another a review of sorts.
That's a review.
Yeah, it was something.
Yeah.
Well, how would you say that review was?
Well, I hope people enjoyed it more than I enjoyed reading the book.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, all.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.